To study tonight a little bit on the coming kingdom of God and how that what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ came. Now we know one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ has come here tonight in spirit. How many will agree? Amen. He has come in the spirit tonight. But one of these days he's going to come and catch the bride away and we're going to the marriage supper. Glory to God. All right, and then after we go to the marriage supper, we're going to come back to earth again, and he's going to come and set up on the throne of his glory. Praise God, and we're going to live and reign on this earth 1,000 years. Now, I want to teach this to show you the myth that a lot of people teach that the earth is going to be completely burnt up and done away with. God has created this earth for his workshop, and this earth will be here from now on through any out eternity. This is where the children of God's going to live, right here on this earth. Praise God. The only time we're going to leave the earth is while God pours out his wrath upon the earth. How many will agree to that tonight? Amen. We'll read it here. Now we're going to start here in Matthew 25. It tells after we've gone up with Jesus to the marriage supper of the Lamb, we come back and he sets on the earth his throne, and he began to judge the people and decides who's worthy to live in the millennial reign and who isn't. Now, in Matthew 25 here, verse 31, we want to begin our study tonight, and we're going to read several places as usual, because tonight, if you don't mind, far as I know, we don't know, this may turn into evangelistical service. Glory to God, we may be a shouting, speaking in tongues, and I don't know what before we get through. But we want to take it as teaching and reading from place to place, because as you have noticed my style of preaching, we go from one place to another tying the Word of God together. Prove it in this book, prove it in another book, prove it in another book, and when you see it from the Word, then nobody can talk you out of it, can they? Amen. See, I could say so-and-so, or I could say the moon's made out of green cheese. Amen. Well, if I couldn't prove the moon's made out of green cheese, how would we know it? See, I just say that as an illustration. See, but showing that what we say about the Word of God, about the plan of salvation, we need to be able to prove it, don't we? Because the Bible says, study to show yourselves approval. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the Word of truth. Now, Matthew 25 and 31, it records Jesus coming back to earth with a bride. Amen. Let's read here. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And we know where that's at, in Jerusalem. Amen. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Amen. Now I want you to notice that tonight. Oh, praise God. That key, and before him shall be gathered all nations. You see that, Brother Spurs? See, people say the world's going to be burned up. Everybody's going to be burned up. Amen. So forth. If it was, how would all nations be gathered before him when he comes back? See, it don't fit the Word. The Word of God's got to line up from Genesis to Revelation, haven't it? Amen. We cannot isolate the Scripture and try to make it say something. I want to read later on in the message tonight where in Malachi 4 where it says they'll walk out on the ashes of the wicked. Sure, in some places they will. There's going to be an atomic war. Amen. And there's going to be great catastrophe to take place in the earth. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you tonight, that all the people of this earth are not going to be destroyed. Amen. There's people living now, no doubt, that will live to go into the millennial reign, to live out that 1,000 years where Christ is going to rule and reign upon the earth. Hallelujah. All right, and before him shall be gathered together all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on the left hand. It's talking about those he found worthy as he go on to explain. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Showing here that Jesus knew all the time Now, I want to show you something in this verse, friend. Jesus knows what's going to happen in the future, doesn't he? Look here, this was wrote 2,000 years ago, and he said it was prepared from the foundation of the world. Oh, I like that, because we're not just guessing about this thing. We can rest our soul upon this Bible because God knew everything from the beginning. Glory to God. And I want to drop this in here. Amen. And I know most of you agree with it. Praise be to God. But our names were on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Amen. Will you agree to that tonight? Amen. Before the foundation of the world, God, He looked down through the telescope of time. Amen. He saw each one that's sitting here tonight, didn't He? Amen. And He saw each one that's not sitting here tonight. Praise God, He knows all about it. And He put those names on the Lamb's Book of Life, those that He saw would love Him and serve Him, amen, and be saved and come into the kingdom of God. He just made His book up before the world was. Amen. God didn't put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life the night you accepted Him. If your name was ever on the Book of Life, it was there before the world began. Amen. Will you believe that's Bible? Book of Revelation teaches that. Amen. Then He calls you. But I believe it's whosoever will, but He knows who will and who don't. I don't know. And you don't know. Amen. That's why we do all we can to get everyone in we can, because the Bible says He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto Him. Will you say amen tonight? Amen. All right. Now in the Word of God, the King separates them. Glory to God, and He says to the sheep people, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is, you can live, go into the millennium. Now watch what He says. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, and in prison, and came unto thee? Now watch what verse 40 says. And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Amen. Notice that. This is after the rapture takes place. People are getting today in general, I want to show you on the basis of what these are judged and let live in the millennial reign on. In general, people are becoming selfish. We know that, don't we? Amen. And they care little for one another in the worldly realm. But after the bride leaves, these brethren here mainly deals with the Jewish people that will be being persecuted at that time by the beast. The people that's good to them and so forth. Jesus said, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And because of that, He'll let them live in the millennial reign. He'll let them go into the kingdom of God. Praise God. But those that won't, watch what He says. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. And in prison, and you visited me not. Watch what it says now. Then shall they answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall He answer and say, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Amen. Showing the final judgment of them there. Now, I want you to watch here. When the King come and sat on the throne of His glory, the first thing He's going to do, He's going to gather the people up. and decide who's worthy to live in the millennial reign and who isn't. Now, there's another place I want to read on this same thing. It's in the book of Zechariah, because the next to the last book of the Old Testament here. In the book of Zechariah, he's prophesying about the coming of the Lord to earth again to start the millennia. Now, this here is very important, as you will understand as we go along tonight, because many people today are saying there will be nobody in the millennia. I heard a message this week. A brother made a tape and sent to me. He said there will be nobody in the millennial reign but the bride and Christ. But I want you to know, Brother Charles, even the promise for the church age, they to overcome, he'll make us rulers, we'll rule the nation. Amen. Then how could we say there'll be nobody there but the bride and Christ? There will be natural people living on earth, because when the millennial reigns over and Satan loose, there's going to be a multitude on earth, isn't it? Praise God. All right, here in Zechariah, this is talking about the coming of the Lord back to earth to start the millennial reign. Zechariah, the 14th chapter. Amen. And we'll just begin there with verse 1. It's actually recording the same thing that Matthew did, but I want to show you how one prophet records some details and then another prophet add more details to it. Praise God. And show you one place, one thing I want to notice that we have already mentioned, and I want to mention it again here so that you'll be sure to get the point. Where Malachi said we'll walk out on the ashes of the wicked later on, to show you that in some areas, yes, but in other areas, no. Praise God, because there's going to be mortal people live up on this earth throughout that 1,000 years. Now, this is getting close to the day that we're living in, Zechariah 14, because the nations have begun to gather in Jerusalem. Israel's back in the homeland. Amen. And there no doubt will be more war in the Middle East according to the prophetic picture. Even Russia will be defeated according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. How many knows it? That's the prophecy in the land of Israel. All right. Now, Zechariah 14, let's begin with verse 1. Amen. And then we're going to read two or three more places on this same thing tonight. And I'm sure Scripture don't bore you, because most of you just love the Word of God like I do. All right. It says here, verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." Now notice here, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now this haven't taken place yet in its fullness, though they have had some war there. Amen. The main battles are yet to take place. "And the city shall be taken, and the houses ravished, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residents of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Now watch verse 3. It's beginning to get where God will begin to put His hand in the situation. Praise God. This is what I like, when God begins to intervene. Glory to God. Listen to what verse 3 says here. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the days of battle." Now, this verse here, we saw a portion of it fulfilled in 67. I believe Israel was outnumbered about 50-1. Amen. It says, "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he did in the days of battle," meaning this, that he's going to fight for them like he did in the Old Testament. Amen. When Israel, if you've ever read the Old Testament, and I'm sure most of you have, amen, you can read about the battles. Joshua marched around Jericho 7 times and the wall fell. Glory to God. And God gave them great victories that was thought impossible. Amen. That's what God did in 67. But we're going to see greater victories in the land of Israel before we get out of here. Glory to God. Now, watch the Lord Jesus come back to earth. Amen. And all the way to earth he does come. Because verse 4 says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon Mount Olive, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east, and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley, which is an earthquake. And half the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azah. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord God shall come, and all the saints with him. Look at that. The Lord God shall come, and all the saints with him. Amen. Meaning he'll come right back to this good solid earth and bring the saints with him. Amen. Now, if the earth is destroyed and dissolved and gone, like many are teaching today, then how could the Lord come back to earth and bring the saints with him? Amen. It isn't going to be that way. Amen. We're going to live on this earth right here. Praise be to God. The only time we're going to leave is to be caught up in a and change in a moment, twinkling of an eye, to be called up to meet the Lord while God pours out His judgment. But in pouring out His judgment, He does not kill everybody. He does not burn everybody up. Praise God, because when He come back and the saints with Him, glory to God, watch what happened. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 6, and it shall come to pass. This is a prophetic day, referring to the church age here. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. That's what we just come through. Amen. God revealing the light of the Word here in the last day. All right, in verse 8, and it shall come to pass that day, in that day, that living water shall go forth from Jerusalem. Half of them towards the former sea, half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and winter it shall be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and His name one. Now I want you to watch that. Amen. Now how many lords is there going to be? Amen. It's going to be one. And His name one. Then how saith so many of the churches today that there's three in the Godhead? Amen. They say there's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Ghost, which is three. But every scripture in the Bible is contrary to that. Amen. When Jesus come back to earth, it's not going to be three come back. Praise God. When He sat on that throne in Jerusalem, there's not going to be three sat on the throne. There's going to be one Lord. Amen. Notice this verse 9. I want to read it again here because I want you to get this. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and His name one. Praise God. You see that? Brothers and sisters, I know we've got all kind of troubles in the world. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's earthquakes. We had one this week in South America there. Amen. Tidal wave in India. They think now it probably killed 25,000. We see everything taking place, but brother and sister, one of these days there's going to be peace upon this earth again. Amen. One of these days Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem on this earth, and in that day there ain't going to be a king for every nation. Praise God. In that sense, there's going to be one great king. Amen. One Lord. Amen. And His name one. I'm telling you, this is a great day that's coming. Hallelujah. Amen. When the devil's going to be bound. We'll get to that in a little bit further here. Praise God, the devil's going to be bound during this time. But the reason I've got several of these scriptures read to read to you tonight is to show you the fact of how this progressed. One prophet writes one thing, and then another prophet writes, and they none contradict one another. But here's the point is, you can't just read the book of Malachi and don't read the rest of the Bible, can you? Because Malachi said that you'll walk out on the ashes of the wicked. And many, Brother Charles, you know today there's literally millions of people today, thousands of them, amen, that says the earth's going to be burned up, we're going to walk out on the ashes of the wicked. They take one scripture and leave the rest of the Bible. Amen, you can't do that. You've got to take the entire Bible. Amen. Sure, the righteous is going to walk out on the ashes of the wicked because he's going to speak the word of God, and the wicked are going to be destroyed.
Amen. But the righteous, those that God find righteous, as we read in Matthew 25, they're going to live here 1,000 years. Amen. I'm not talking about the church either, brother and sister. I'm talking about the church is going to be here to bride, but they're going to be in glorified bodies. But there's going to be natural people that's living today that God's going to let go on and live in the millennial reign. Amen. Now listen as we read a little further here. We'll start with verse 10 now. It says, "And all the land shall be turned into a plain." That means the desert places there, brother, they're going to blossom as roses, as one prophet says. "All the land shall be turned into a plain from Gaza to Ramah, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place." Now notice, amen, south of Jerusalem, "it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate under the corner gate, and from the tower of Hanel unto the king's wine press." Now what does that mean? Amen. The old desert, glory to God, they won't bear now. Brother and sister, when the King Jesus Christ come back to earth, brother, they're going to blossom like a rose. You believe that? Amen. That's what Isaiah the prophet says. The desert will blossom as a rose. Occasionally we hear someone say, pretty soon there's not going to be enough food that the earth can't, the population of the earth is outgrowing the amount of food that can be grown. But brothers and sisters, those old deserts been laying there for thousands of years. They just rich in minerals and vitamins and whatever it takes to produce crops. All they're waiting for is just some rain. Glory to God, and you talk about some good gardens. My, my, those old deserts. One brother coming from out west there in the desert stopped and got some soil and brought it over in Indiana and had it checked out. And it was some of the richest soil that could be found. Amen. All it needs is just some rain. Brothers and sisters, it's God's going to let it rain and those deserts are going to blossom forth. All right, let's go to verse 11 now. "And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited." Glory to God, everybody in Jerusalem now, they've got many guards and so forth, and it seemed like a fortress there. All right, verse 12, "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people." Oh, I want you to listen closely on verse 12. Amen. Show you that there are going to be people that melt away while they stand on their feet. And we're going to walk out on their ashes. But it's going to be those that fought against Israel. It's going to be those that had the mark of the beast. But it's not going to be the righteous people. The righteous people, those that he finds righteous, he's going to let them live in the millennia. Now watch verse 12 now. "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth." Notice that, friend. What do the Bible says in Revelation 19? We're going to get to it a little here. And Matthew 19, "He'll slay them with the sword of his mouth." That speaks the word. Do you see what's going to happen, brother Spud? They're going to melt away while they stand on their feet. Those that have fought against Israel, those that, including those that's got the mark of the beast, because that system will be the main one that will fight against Israel. Amen. When Jesus come back, they'll just melt away. But it does not mean all the people. How many sees that now? Amen. It don't mean all the people. It means those that have took the mark of the beast. Those that have fought against Israel. Those that have come against what God's doing. When Jesus Christ comes, he will not let them live. Here on earth, he'll consume them. And then sure, the righteous will walk out on their ashes. Notice in the days of Noah, when God destroyed the world, brothers and sisters, he saved people to repopulate the earth, didn't he? Amen. Bless your heart. Let me tell you something. There is another one day, 1,000-year period when God's going to let this earth live, let the people of this earth live in perfect peace. There will not be one war fought. Amen. Because Satan's going to be bound. We covered that a little last week, but we're going to get on just a little after a while. All right, verse 13 covers something else here, and I want to just read through just quickly here, because I got several other places and it seems I can never get through. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that a great trouble from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on his neighbors, and his hand shall rise against the hands of his neighbors. And Judah shall fight at Jerusalem." This is referring back just before the coming of the Lord. "And the wealth of all the heathen shall be around about." "Wealth of all the heathen around about shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel, and in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse and the mule and of the camel and of the ass and of the beast that shall be in these tents as this plague." Now watch now. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of the nations which came against Jerusalem." Now, oh, praise God. Notice, "it shall come to pass that everyone that is left." Now, there's going to be some left, ain't there? How many sees this? There's going to be people left. And they're going to have to go worship God. Amen. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to keep the feast of the tabernacle." You see that now? Everyone that's not killed, everyone that is found worthy to live in the millennia, every year they got to go up to Jerusalem to worship God. Amen. Oh, praise God. All that haven't been to Jerusalem, glory to God, they're going to get a chance to go every year. Hallelujah. How are they going to get there? I don't know. God will provide the transportation. Amen. That hour you'll get to go up to Jerusalem and see the King. Amen. It'll be worth it, won't it? Now we see the King in the Spirit. I see the King here tonight. Glory to God, I feel the King here tonight. But one of these days, praise be to God, amen, I can see Him in person. Glory to God. Amen. All right, verse 17, "And it shall come, and it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." Amen. In that great day, that's talking about the mortal people. Amen. That God let lives in the millennia. If they say, "Well, I just don't feel I can make the trip or something," you know, there'll be no sickness in that day. Amen. God won't let it rain on the cross. Praise God, because He wants them to go see the King. Amen. And why wouldn't people want to go see the King? Amen. Brother and sister, I want to see Him. Amen. I want to see Him coming in clouds of glory. I want to see Him at the marriage supper. The Bible says He'll gird Himself and serve us. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Let me stop shouting here and read a little more. Amen. "And if the families of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that go not up to keep the feast of the tabernacle. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations." Notice that, nations. God's not going to destroy all the people. He's going to let them live in the millennium. "Nations that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacle." Amen. Now I want you to especially notice verse 20 and 21. Everything of the world system today is patterned to give glory to Satan. How many can say amen to that? Amen. You remember the other night we had that, when we preached the message on beware of Satan, be vigilant, because Satan, your adversary, is going forth out of the roaring lion. The devil even took Jesus and showed Him all the kingdoms, said, "All these will I give thee." But notice, Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." You know why Jesus did? Amen. See, Jesus, He wasn't going to do it anyway. But He was to fall heir of the whole earth anyway. You see? When He come back as King, the whole earth belongs to Jesus, bless your heart. Praise God. And notice, in that day, everything's going to look like God. Amen. Today we see billboards advertising certain movies, triple X movies, and all kind of sin. Brothers and sisters, in that day it won't be. Amen. It'll be holiness unto the Lord. Watch this, verse 20.
and 21 as we read it here. In that day, there shall be no... In that day shall there be upon the bales of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the house of the Lord shall be like unto the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take them and soothe therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanites in the house of the Lord of hosts. Praise be to God. Now I want you to look at that. In that day, can you see the earth making a change? Amen. How many see that tonight? Praise God. That's what I want you to see tonight. The earth making a complete change because Satan is bound. The Lord comes and he takes over. And he began to run it his way. Oh, praise God, praise God. That's what's fixing to take place. Since we're close to Malachi here, let's just read that in Malachi 4. Amen. Where the righteous walk out on the ashes of the wicked. Amen. It's Malachi 4. And we'll begin here with verse 1. And I want to tell you just before I read this, as most of you here tonight already know, that people take this one scripture here and they say, everybody's going to be burned up. The earth's going to be completely burned over. Brothers and sisters, you can't take one scripture out of proportion with the rest of it, can you? Amen. If that be so, what we've read, we might as well tear those pages out of the Bible, haven't we? Amen. Because it read about mortal people being on earth. We read about the desert bringing forth. We read about people going up to Jerusalem every year to worship God. We read about the King. Amen. King Jesus coming to earth with all of his saints. Amen. And we read in Matthew 25 where he gathered them together and judged them and separated them and decide who can live in the millennium and who can't. Amen. But those that disobey God, they'll melt away while they stand on their feet. And there'll be great wars, no doubt, before the bride leaves and many people burn. So let's look at the Word of God. This prophet saw part of it here. For behold, the day of the Lord cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud. Amen. What did that say, Brother Charles? All the proud. Now notice who's going to be burned up, Brother Smith. All the proud. Yea, and all that do wickedly. Glory be to God. Now watch how people take this out of the proportion with the rest of the Word. They say everybody's going to be burned up. The Bible didn't say that, did it? It said all the proud and all that do wickedly. Amen. Watch now. Yea, and all the proud, all that do wickedly shall be stable. And the day that cometh shall burn them up. Now notice, who is it going to burn up? All the proud and all that do wickedly. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people today, they don't want to come to church if it's not a church uptown, do they? Amen. They're too proud. Amen. Glory to God. But Jesus teaches us to be humble, to be clothed in humility. Glory to God. All the proud. God hates a proud spirit, doesn't he? How many knows it? God hates a proud spirit. Some people are too proud to do certain things. Glory to God. But the Bible says in the days of Jesus Christ, the common people heard him gladly. How many ever read that? Glory to God, as he went forth, the priests, the religious people of his day, they rejected him. They said, crucify him. They said, he's got a devil. They said, away with such a man. It's not fit that such a man shall live on the face of the earth. But the humble, the common people, they heard what he said. Who went out to hear John the Baptist? The humble people. The amen, the common people. Glory to God, but one of these days, the proud. Let me start with this and read it again. I hope you don't mind me getting excited here and preaching a little. See, I could just read to you all night, but glory to God, God called me to preach, and preach means explain a little as we go along, doesn't it? Amen. Let me just start and read the whole thing through to get the picture. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it leave them neither root nor branch. Amen. But before that day cometh, sent Elijah the prophet, which he's already done. Now, I want to show you this in the reading of the Word of God here as we've come in, and I hope you don't think I'm just repeating myself over and over. I'm doing this on purpose, and see, because a part revelation and a whole revelation. A part revelation only sees the earth being burned up. That's only seeing part of the picture, isn't it? Amen. And that, if that's all you can see, the rest of the Bible don't mean anything to you, because the rest of it says that Jesus coming back to this earth. Amen. So if someone says the Bible says the earth's going to be burned up and so forth, glory to God, we know that Peter saw it after the millennial reign's over, where the system of the world's going to be dissolved and God's going to come back for eternity. Amen. But here, the 1,000-year period is still the day of the Lord. Now, I want you to turn with me tonight in the book of Revelation. Praise be to God. And I want to read part of the 19th chapter, and I want you to notice something in there. Still talking about the day of the Lord. And then we'll probably go on into the 20th chapter if time permits. Amen. Because we want to tie this in with what we were talking about last service here, that we got part of part revelation and full revelation. How many see this now, but while you're turning? Amen. I want to give everybody time to turn, because I want you all to read with me tonight. Amen. How many see this now? If I had only read one place in the Bible, Malachi 4, you know what we would have said? The earth's going to be burned up. Amen. Everybody's going to be burned up and so forth. That's what the people say. But the rest of the Word of God, amen, the rest of the Word of God teaches differently, doesn't it? That's why, what did the Bible say? Hear a little, thou a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Oh, praise be to God. Amen. Now, in the 19th chapter, we often hear about the marriage supper of the Lamb. But did you know it talks about two suppers in that one chapter? Amen. Amen. God's going to have a big supper there, and He's going to feed a lot of, He's going to feed the fowls of the air. Amen. Amen. You believe it? Now, I'm telling you about the end time picture before God comes and start the millennia. Praise God. Listen, that if you want to read about the two suppers here, which we're going to begin in verse 11, but let's read verse 9 and 17 just to get these two suppers here. Amen. Verse 9, it says, this is 19th chapter. It says, He said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. That's when the bride's called up to the marriage supper of the Lamb in the sky. Now, watch here in verse 17, it talks about another supper. It says, And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice unto all the fowls in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. You know what that's going to be? Where it's going to slay many, many people, ain't so? Amen. Now, in the Middle East, there is going to be millions of people killed. Now, we have read about some of it. When Jesus comes, many of them, He's going to speak the word and they're going to melt away. But just hours before the coming of the Lord, amen, the war in the Middle East, how many of you've heard of the Battle of Armageddon? It's going to be taking place, and there's going to be all those people from the east. The Bible says the river of Euphrates will be dried up to make way for the kings of the east, signifying China and Vietnam and all those far eastern nations, the Orientals. They'll come in Jerusalem there to try to take over power right in the last hour. Brother, but then, amen, you talk about war, a time of trouble like has not been since there was a nation. Amen, but I want to read again here, the coming of the Lord. Show you the earth don't burn up. Show you that there's going to be people in the earth. Let's just start with verse 11. I'll try to read real quickly through this chapter as quickly as possible, because I'm taking too much time to get the thought over tonight.
But after the bride is picked up, here we come back from heaven. Amen. It says, "And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war." Now notice, if the world's burnt up and everybody's burnt up, who's he making war against? That's the same thing we read in Zechariah, them that fought against Israel. He come to make war with them. Watch now. "His eyes were as flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood," meaning he's coming into battle, "and his name is called the Word of God." We know who that is, don't we? "And the armies which followed him upon white horses," and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now who that is? It's the bride that's been picked up, but we're coming back to earth. We're going to live here and reign with Christ. Amen. That's where we're going to be on earth. "And out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he shall smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, praise be to God. And I saw," here's the verse we read, "and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God." Now watch what he's doing. "That you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and the flesh of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their army gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the horse and against his army." Now notice here, I said I wasn't going, I'm trying to read a lot, not preach so much, but I want to comment on this. Notice here, they make war against the bride and Christ as we all come back to earth. We come back to Jerusalem. That's where his feet touch Mount Olive over there, and the mountain split in two. See, all this is talking about the self-same thing. But one prophet records some details, another detail, but none of them contradicts each other. It just takes it all to make a whole picture. How many sees it? Amen. All right, here we are back to earth now. Verse 20, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and which wrought the miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them which had worshipped the image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire burning with fire and brimstone." Watch now, verse 20. And the remnant of these armies now, watch what happened. "And the remnant of these armies, remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Now watch now. You see, he's back on earth now. How many sees it? We've been going up to the marriage supper. We're back on earth. He put down the enemy. Watch what the first thing he do now. Verse 20. Now we'll get through here in just a little bit, but I want to get another thing to you. "And an angel," going on with verse 1 of chapter 20, "and I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were, the nation no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loose for a little season." Now you notice the devil will be bound during that time. How many seasons? All right. Now note that there will be no tempter no more. Now let's turn to Isaiah 65 and closing this out. Now, that don't look like the earth's going to be burned up and everybody on it, does it? Amen. It just shows there, amen, that it's a lack of revelation to teach it like that. Praise be to God. Amen. In Isaiah 65 here, it tells what's going to during this 1,000 years time. Amen. Now you see part revelation and full revelation. Amen. It's only part revelation to think that the earth is going to be burned up and everybody's going to be burned up and so forth. No, sirree. There's going to be natural people.
Amen. How about that? Live here. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to build houses, plant vineyards. And you know that old lion that's always, it's the king of the beast. Amen. You know what? The lion's going to be tamed. You believe the Bible says that? When will it be? During this 1,000-year period? See, the earth's not going to be burned up. Now, let's read this in Isaiah. It starts with verse, let's begin with verse 17 of Isaiah 65. And it tells you, the prophet here is seeing even into the glorious age after the millennium. But we'll tell you which part refer to it. Isaiah 65, verse 17. It says, "For behold, I create a new heaven, new earth, and the former shall be remembered, shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." This is after 1,000 years over now. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. Amen. That means after, now what we're reading there is after the millennium over. Amen. But now we're going to begin to read in the millennium, because the prophet's seeing the whole thing when he writes. Now watch, we're starting on the millennium now, in the middle of this verse. "For a child shall die 100-year-old, but the sinner being 100-year-old shall be accursed." Now what does that mean right there? Now, I want to explain that, because many people don't understand that verse. Even a 100-year-old will still be just more or less considered a child, because longevity will be restored and they'll live 1,000 years old. But the devil will be bound. There'll be no tempter. But if anybody do want to sin against Almighty God, amen, that they'll be cut off, sin will be cut off from the earth. Amen. And those that go into the millennial reign, God will give them 100 years. Now, I want to tell you something, friend. In the jungle areas of the world today, there's people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many know them? They say, some say it's 2/3 of the world never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he come to earth, back to earth, and begin to teach them, a lot of them will change and line up with the word. But even with the devil bound, a lot of them, they'd say, "Well, I love the way I've been doing it." They'll want to keep on living their old hedonistic way. God will give them 100 years to straighten up. If they won't, then he ain't got nothing to do, but he'll just have to cut them off. Amen. All right, that explains that verse. Let's go on to the next verse now. Praise God. All right, verse 20 here. Verse 21, rather. Now watch here. Those, the people, natural people of the earth, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. This is the natural people. Now, before I go on to verse 22, I want to stop here in the middle of this to explain this. How many knows I'm not talking about the bride now? See, the bride, we that are saved now, we go up, we get a glorified body. There's no chance ever for us to be lost. We'll be able to travel like a thought. See, but these people that we're reading about now are natural people that's still in their natural state, just like you and I are. Amen. All right, listen as we go on to verse 22 now. "They shall not build and another inhabit." In other words, they won't build a house and about time to get it built. I've seen it happen so many times. Man work all of his life, nearly get his house built, about time he get it built, a heart attack hit him or cancer or something, and he's taken off the scene. But it won't be here. Praise God, because he'll live 1,000 years if he'll keep the law of God. Amen. "They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people." Now, notice that. There is some trees today. Old olive trees. In the Middle East, they say they're 2,500-year-old. It's not talking about a little sassafras out here, because other scriptures confirm, John did that in the book of Revelation, that we live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. This millennial reign is one day. It's 1,000 years. And during this 1,000 years, people will not die. If they keep the law, the only ones that will ever die is those that just keep rejecting God and rejecting God's way coming against God's plan, then God will give them, even them 100 years before He cuts them off. But when He initial coming, when He comes first, He'll judge all of them and let those go in that's worthy, and then those that the natural people. See, we're dealing with two people here, the natural and the spiritual. The spiritual cannot be lost, cannot be tempted, cannot be tried, or anything. But even the natural man here, 100 years, God will give him. And if he won't straighten up, God will cut him off. And by the time the millennial reign's over, there'll be thousands of people on earth. I want to get that just in closing this out. All right? And mine elect shall long enjoy the works of their hands. Now, I want you to notice that. Mine elect. Now, who is the elect? It's the bride. It's us that believe the gospel and accept the gospel. It's us. We will enjoy the works of their hand. In other words, what they do. In the early days, God gave man a servant. How many knows what it was? It was the serpent. The serpent should have, if the fall hadn't come and the serpent hadn't listened to the devil, amen, it would have been a people here to serve us. We wouldn't have had to work. How many knows Adam and Eve failed, the reason we have to work now? But see, God's going to restore everything back. And the natural people, they'll serve as servants to us, the bride. Amen. And that's why God says, mine elect will long enjoy the works of their hand. If we need a watermelon and want a watermelon, all we got to do is say, go bring me a watermelon. Amen. That may sound silly, but it's the truth. Praise God. Amen. We're going to be, it's going to be heaven on earth for 1,000 years. Glory to God. All right. I wish we had a little more time on this, but our time's getting on gone. But here in verse 23, and they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, because God let them live in the millennium, and their offspring with them. How many knows what, Spud, you know what offspring is, don't you? It's your children. You say, you mean there's going to be children born in that 1,000 years? Yes, sirree. To the natural people it is. But again, let me separate this, and I hope you don't say, well, Brother Howard, tonight just repeating itself over and over. I'm not. I'm doing it for a reason. Because the spiritual people, we that are saved this side of the millennia that gets a glorified body, there'll be no children born to us. How many of you understand that now? But the ones that are not saved, that God let lives in the millennia like He did in the days of Noah, He let people live to repopulate the earth. Amen. They're going to marry and have children and so forth and build houses and plant vineyards. Amen. And they'll even have a lion in the living room for a pet. Amen. Glory to God if they want one. You know, there's nothing no lazier than a lion when its tummy's full, is it? Amen. You see, let me read you this. Glory to God. I don't mean to be funny, but it's the Word. Glory to God. Listen. Amen. Another place talks about the lion. Here it's talking about the wolf. Amen. All right. Praise God. What verse we get? 22, 23. Let's start at 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. In other words, you just think of something. God will answer before you got a chance to ask Him. Amen. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Now what? The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. You know what a wolf would do to a lamb then? There wouldn't be a chance for it, would it? It would tear, but the devil's going to be bound. See? The devil's going to be bound. He's going to be cast in the bottomless pit. Oh, praise God, I'll tell you, I can't preach this without shouting a little bit. Glory to God, because it's real. We are fixing to come into the greatest thing that has ever been. Amen. We're going to come into the time when Jesus comes back to the earth. He's going to be, what did we read a while ago? There's going to be one Lord and one King. Amen. And His name one. And there's going to be King Jesus. He's going to be ruling. Amen. And it's going back like it was in the Garden of Eden. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. In other words, you could go right in the jungle where the lions, the elephants, the wolves, and all the tigers, all the wild animals, all the wild serpents, the crocodiles, and everything, and lay right down and go to sleep. Nothing hurts. Amen. I'm looking for the coming of that glorious millennial day when our blessed Savior come and catch His waiting bride away. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. What a wonderful day that'll be. Let's bow our head in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight, Lord Jesus, for the love of God. Thank You, Lord, for Your mighty word, Lord. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Lord, we're just so overjoyed, God. Oh, the only thing we can say is thank You, Jesus. Now bless us all together, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen.